Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of prayer, and we ask that you would give us grace as we seek to learn more about it, that by your Spirit you would equip us to pray, that your name will be lifted high, and that your purposes would be fulfilled. So give us wisdom from your word now, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, I'm sure I'm not the only one who, when speaking to someone who's aware of a need in their life, hears them say something like, "Say one for me." People of all kinds and backgrounds and of different sorts of experiences sometimes value the idea that they are being prayed for. And of course, we all know that we should be praying for each other in the church family and for other Christians that we know. Friends and family, mission partners and the like. But we're not always that clear what to pray, especially when there is pressure on in different ways. Well, this morning as we continue our sermon series, Approaching the Throne of Grace, the Bible and Prayer, we're looking at 2 Thessalonians chapters 2 and 3, and you'll find that reading on page 1192 of the Black Bibles. Now, 2 Thessalonians is a short letter written by the Apostle Paul to the newly planted church in Thessalonica in Greece, even now Greece's second city. The church had begun when Paul and his team had visited the area and shared the good news of Jesus. Within 20 years of Jesus being raised from the dead, this new church had begun. The account of what happened is given in Acts chapter 17. Well, Paul writes sometime later to help the church to stand firm under pressure. There was pressure from outside with significant opposition for these new Christians. So Paul writes in the first chapter of the persecutions and afflictions that you are enduring. There was also trouble from within as false teachers were confusing the congregation, claiming a message from God saying that Jesus had already returned. So Paul has to counter in chapter 2, verse 3, "Let no one deceive you in any way." There were also some in the church family who had misunderstood the implications of the reality that Jesus will return. Their response was to think that they just had to sit around and wait, when actually being a Christian involves actively serving Jesus through your life, rather than being idle and expecting others to provide for you. Well, as he addresses these situations, Paul teaches about the reality of Jesus returning to fully fulfill God's plan. And in the section before us this morning, he gives a model of what to pray for other believers in the church community, especially when the pressure is on. Well, first of all, we see that we are to begin with thanks. Now, we've already seen in recent weeks that thanksgiving is a key characteristic of Christian prayer. When we pray for one another, even when there's pressure, there's always things to thank God for. So verse 13. "But we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers and sisters." Now, what are the reasons given here? Well, these believers are beloved by the Lord, much loved by Jesus. And this love is not something earned by Christians in any way. Rather, it is a gift. God chose you as the first fruits or from the beginning to be saved. And this salvation rescue that has brought deliverance from the consequences of sin and a future sharing in Jesus' majestic glory and victory has been received because God has called believers through the message of the good news. Verse 14, "To this he called you through our gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." So Christians have received this salvation because of what God does for them by his Holy Spirit, making the work of Christ personal. Verse 13, "Through sanctification by the Spirit, and as there is belief in the truth," receiving what God has made possible in Jesus and believing it. So when praying for other Christians, even when things are tough, we can thank God for them. They've been loved, chosen, and called through the gospel. They have been enabled to believe the truth. The Holy Spirit has made them new, and they are looking forward to heaven. Well, having given thanks, what are we to pray for? Well, Paul's model here shows that we are to pray for stability in life. Now, over the last few years, the world has experienced economic turmoil. And in our own country, the EU referendum has led to political disorder of many kinds. And so leaders are then quick to offer strong and stable government. That's what people want. And so many new houses going up around the country, there to address what we're told is a housing crisis, are built by those who are constructing them with physically stable foundations. And the ferries that come and go out of King George Dock need to counteract the turbulence and swell of the North Sea, and so they use stabilizers. You see, stability is something that is needed in many areas of human life, and it's so important in the Christian life, especially when there is pressure. Now, as we've already recognised, these Thessalonian Christians face the pressure of opposition from outside the church community, from false teaching, and from confused conduct from within. And our situations can easily have parallels in the 21st century. It's becoming increasingly unfashionable in our society to be known as a Christian, and this can result in opposition for us. There is sadly an increase in the wider church of false ideas and the promotion of unethical behaviour, not to mention the stresses of life at work, in our families, with our health and in our neighbourhoods. And this passage recognises that there is also God's spiritual enemy, the devil, who will try to use whatever means he can to attack us. Well, given all this pressure, in our reading, Christians are told in verse 15 to stand firm. And there are prayers that hearts would be established, verse 17, and that they would be directed to the steadfastness of Christ, chapter 3, verse 5. So a key thing to pray for one another is that we might have stability in life, whatever the pressures and stresses. So Paul, having encouraged the Thessalonians to, verse 15, stand firm in the light of the gospel that has saved them, and to hold to the traditions, that is the truth that they've been taught and has been handed on to them, are prayed for that our Lord Jesus Christ, himself, and God our Father who loved us, would, verse 17, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. Well, that is a great thing to pray for one another, that our inner beings will be strengthened and that this would work out in the way that we live and speak. Now, we then find another related prayer request that we can take up at the end of our reading in chapter 3, verse 5. After asking for prayer for himself as someone taking the good news to others, the type of prayer that we plan to look at next week from the letter to the Colossians, we read verse 5, may the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. In order to stand firm and live out the gospel under pressure, here is a prayer that asks God to lead his people to grasp his love more deeply, that we might more deeply love, and to appreciate Christ's perseverance, that we might more fittingly persevere. Well, having seen this model prayer that we can use, giving thanks and praying for stability in life, the passage reminds us of an important lesson about prayer. And that is that we should seek to tie prayer requests to God's revealed truth. See, the request for stability in verse 17, that Jesus and God the Father comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word, is made after we are reminded about God's character and actions in verse 16. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God the Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. We pray for the stability of our fellow believers, knowing that God has loved us and in his undeserved favour towards us, given us so much already. And the request to make possible standing firm and living out the truth by being led into God's love and Christ's steadfastness in chapter 3, verse 5, is made after what is a great promise. Verse 3. But the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. See, we pray for the establishment and strengthening of God's people, having already heard God's promise that he will establish them. Knowing that God promises something here, that he will establish and guard his people, encourages us in prayer. In fact, God's promises are what assure us that God will hear and answer. So when we pray, we're not trying to twist God's arm into doing something, but rather, in a way that is beyond mere human understanding, we are enabling God to do what he has promised to do and enabling his people to inherit his promises. Praying aware of what God has pledged to do in his word feeds and strengthens our prayers. Well, knowing what to pray for people is not always obvious, including what to pray for our fellow believers, especially when under pressure. Well, this prayer of the Apostle Paul gives us a good example. Begin with thanks. We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers and sisters, beloved by the Lord. Pray for stability in life, that hearts will be established in every good work and word, and that the Lord Jesus would direct our hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. And pray knowing that with such prayers, God has promised to do what we ask for and uses our prayers to that end. The Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the example of prayer here that we've been thinking of. We pray that you would strengthen us, that we would indeed be prayerful for one another and for believers in different contexts. Help us to pray with thanksgiving and help us to pray believing your promises. So strengthen us and use us, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.